Before I read the scripture this morning, I want to set the stage. This is the traditional scripture that we hear every Pentecost. It comes from Acts, but today I want you to take a moment to imagine what is happening. Imagine that you are in this place as this unfolds. The setting is Jerusalem, and it's a festival time. It's a festival when the Jewish people are gathered to celebrate and to give thanks for the first fruit of the harvest. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. The day is fresh with possibility. There are lots of things happening around the city as the people prepare for the festival and for the day ahead. What are the sounds and the smells that we would encounter if we would have been there? Is there an excitement or a spirit of joy and anticipation? As we hear this scripture this morning, I want you to think about some of those things. The scripture comes from Acts 2, verses 1 through 21, selected verses. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from the heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. And they were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? Yet one of them, how each of them can hear them speaking in our native language." And Peter stood up with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I like to envision what is happening in the scripture because it brings the scripture to life. And even as we sit in this moment, some of the things that we imagined or thought of in that moment of scripture, some of those things are the same. Many of them are different, but as we are gathered here this morning, we are gathered as God's people to give thanks and to celebrate what God has given to us. But I want to know, is there an excitement in the air this morning? Is there a spirit of anticipation in your hearts as you come into worship? What does this day mean for us who have already heard the good news of Jesus Christ? I believe that this day is no less important than the very first day of Pentecost, because the foundational messages of love and grace are present in this day just as powerfully as they were on the day of Pentecost. While it would not be helpful for most of us to hear all of those languages that were spoken on that very first day of Pentecost, we still gather in this space to hear a word from God. I believe the universal language of God is love. However, most of us probably believe that God speaks English. Do you speak English to God? I do. When I pray to God in English. When I have thoughts about God, guess what? They're in English. Yet, I believe that God's language is a language of love, a language that meets us where we are. When God is revealed, every time we hear the revelation of God in Scripture by others or in our prayer life, the consistent message is a message of love, no matter what language we speak. This passage proves that God's language is a language of love because in this passage, God again stops at nothing to make sure everyone present in that place has access to the grace of God, the good news of Christ. Each person gathered in that place clearly heard the message of love in their native language. God reduced any barriers to grace and understanding through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we see that time and time again in the history of God's great story of love, that God meets us where we are and loves us unconditionally, that God reaches out in love to us, His children. When I think about the story of God, I think about God creating us, God sending the prophets to guide us, God gave the judges to direct us, the kings to lead us, and then God sent Jesus, God's only Son, to atone for our sin, to give us abundant and eternal life. And then God sends the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to convict us, confront us, comfort us, and to guide us. I believe Pentecost was another way in a very long list of God's beautiful actions in which God stops at nothing to love us, to welcome us in, to give us grace and forgiveness. Pentecost was more than a moment when everybody just heard their own language. Pentecost was a moment of change in the world. It was when God's people received the Holy Spirit. Pentecost wasn't just a moment. Pentecost is life for us. It is a way of life for those that believe. Pentecost is soaking in the love of God and receiving the Holy Spirit. You see, I don't believe that we come here today to remember Pentecost. I don't believe that at some moment in time 2,000 years ago that we celebrate. I believe Pentecost is a way of life, that we are called to be people who have a Pentecostal kind of life, a life impassioned by the Holy Spirit. A life that is empowered to live boldly as witnesses in the world for Jesus Christ. Now, this is where we as Methodists, we begin to get a little antsy. When I start throwing out words like Pentecostal, when I start talking about the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we're a pretty subdued group of people. If somebody starts to raise their hands in worship, we are thinking, whoa, let's don't get crazy. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit and we begin to hear things and see how the Holy Spirit is moving and working in life, sometimes we take a step back. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Because if you want to have a mundane life, don't mess with the Holy Spirit. Okay, that's your warning here, folks. If you don't want to get excited, if you don't want to have passion, if you just want to be really subdued, leave it there. Because the Holy Spirit is the agent in which God uses to empower us to be people who live out the gospel in the world. And it is risky business. When we accept the Holy Spirit, things begin to change in our life. We get called out of our comfort zones. We get called out of the places that feel stagnant in our life, and we begin to be impassioned in the world. We want to be witnesses for Christ. We want to live lives that impact the world. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that begins to work in us when we see someone in need, and our heart breaks, that is the Holy Spirit. when we have done something wrong, when we have sin in our life and we feel convicted and we feel that we need to repent and make a change in our life, that is the Holy Spirit. When we see injustice in the world that keeps us up at night, that makes us want to do something to change it, that is the Holy Spirit at work in our life. Let's be clear, the Holy Spirit is powerful. Read the book of Acts. Time and time again, God's people were doing bold and beautiful things in the name of Jesus for the gospel, and the church was exploding. The Holy Spirit is powerful. The Holy Spirit not only calls us to uncomfortable places, but the Holy Spirit sustains us. You see, I don't believe that we can just try really hard to be good people and all through our life we just are good people. I believe that as Christians, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do incredible things in the world. And I believe the energy, the momentum, the things that sustain us to go out in the world to do it is the Holy Spirit. Because that is what drives us and motivates us for a life that is lived as a disciple of Christ. The Holy Spirit gives us everything we need to be faithful followers of Christ, and it empowers us to be those who work for change in the world in the name of our Lord and our Savior. The Holy Spirit is a gift from God, and it is poured out upon the believers. And here's the exciting thing. I'm not talking about it was poured out 2,000 years ago. I am saying the Holy Spirit is available to us in this moment. God wants to fill us up. God wants to renew us and empower us. God wants to call us from our stagnant places in our life to be bold and powerful witnesses that transform the world in the name of Jesus Christ. So what is it that you're here for this morning? Are you here to remember when everybody got together and could hear the same language? Or are you here for a word from God? What is the feeling in your heart? Are you excited to be in this place? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to wash upon you and refresh you anew? Because the beautiful message of Pentecost is a message for this moment. That God loves you. That God will stop at nothing so that you can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And that God gives God's Holy Spirit to refresh us, to renew us, to empower us to be disciples that go out into the world to share the gospel. We're not here to remember. We are here to soak in the grace of God, to be renewed and transformed. Thanks be to God that God loves us so very much that he fills us with his Holy Spirit. Amen.